T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For a team that won the Super Bowl, they do have a lot of needs.
They sure do.
And they have 12 picks here.
Yeah.
So that is a premium spot to trade Adam. And we've talked about a quarterback going to New England at 32 whenever they win the Super Bowl every year, and they never seem to make that pick. They have not found the quarterback that they want. I think it'd be a surprise to see Daniel Jones still sitting there. They'd have to take a long, hard look. But I think for a defending Super Bowl champion, they've got other needs. And I know that they signed this week. They went and signed Austin Seferian Jenkins, Demaryius Thomas. They still need tight end help.
Yeah.
They still need wide receiver help.
Defensive
they still
line
need
help.
Defensive line help. They have a lot of needs for a team that has been as dominant as they've been.
A lot of needs.
And everybody loves this Daniel Jones character.
Yeah.
Everybody. So
I'm not buying it. So, the rumor's out there, and a lot of people are doing it now. And I noticed that our buddy, a little Mikey Reese,
yes,
did the same thing, and he did a mock draft.
Patriots ESPN select mock Daniel draft. Jones, quarterback. Yep. Dude.
I'm not buying it.
So when everybody starts taking the same person, run away from that pick.
Yes.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
They were not going to take a quarterback in the first round.
I agree with you.
Period.
I mean,
not going to happen.
Are you ready for this?
Why would you waste a first-round pick on a guy, and if all signs lead to the fact that Brady isn't leaving for another 3 to 4 years, then why would you waste a pick on a guy that's never going
to
play?
I hear Schefter say they have a ton of holes. I felt like they had more holes last year than the year before. I had Gronk. Now, Gronk changes everything, right? Gronk is an enormous hole. I mean, I don't know if you think you're going to replace Gronk in the draft. If you do, maybe you have to go get that number one tight end at Iowa. I don't know. But do they have a ton of holes? Like, you talk about defensive line. You lost Trey Flowers. I feel like last couple of years you're sitting there saying, man, you got to get linebacker help. You got to get an offensive. You got to get a tackle.
Yeah.
And I just feel like before the draft even starts, they've already drafted 3 kids. Landon Roberts. The kid Isaiah Wynn and the kid Duke Dawson.
Bentley. You're talking about Juwan Bentley.
Juwan Bentley. What did I say?
Yeah, Landon Roberts.
Oh, yeah, Juwan
He's
Bentley.
He's been here
sorry.
The last few. Yes.
But, I mean, I just feel like before it even starts, do they take a tackle in the third or fourth round?
Maybe.
I could see that. But you look at tight end and wide receiver, yeah, that's glaring. But other than that, hey, huge holes.
Yeah, I heard holes. So I heard Lombardi.
They're big holes, but
I heard our good friend, friend of the show, Michael Lombardi, on your coworker Phil Perry.
Let me guess. He broke down all 12 of the Patriot picks. He gave
guy at the buffet line and eats fast.
Every single one. I tell you what, this guy. You ask him a direct question, and God forbid he even answer it. He won't. It's like he's so afraid of being wrong. He's so afraid of being wrong. He just done that because Phil asked, "Hey, what do you think they're going to do with their 32nd pick?" Oh, I don't know. Maybe this. Maybe that.
Best
you have
player?
It. Oh, can you play it for me, please, Ryan?
If you had to put together a mock for us, what would you say happens at 32?
The thing about the Patriots is they realize that they've got to get a good player at 32. If it's a corner that they like, that can come in and play a role for them this year, I think they could pick the corner. If there happened to be a linebacker or a defensive end that could rush, they could do that. Yeah. I think that's more the area.
Name,
I think
name,
it's all
hold on,
gonna
shut
be...
up! Name every position! What is it? Just name every single... maybe a guard if there's a good tackle there. Safety. Sure, if there's safety. If there's a running back, sure, the load up on running backs, maybe a tight end.
But that
I don't know.
Comment that they got to get a good player.
Isn't that
on top of every draft board?
The thing about the Patriots is they realize that they've got to get a good player at 32.
Really?
On top of every draft board,
and the Redskins want to get good players.
Henry Kissinger's
memoir. It's full of it. So what are they going to do?
I think they're going to move down. How's that? I think he's going to look at 32, and it's interesting because there are rumors out there that the Rams, who are drafting at 31, are looking to move down because they see so many good players in the second, third, and fourth round. So I think Bill's going to look at it at 32. He might get some team out there that's got somebody on their board that really wants to get them and wants to get them in a five-year situation, that extra year, and will give the Patriots something that'll give them another pick. Now you look
if there happened to be a linebacker or a defensive end that could rush, they could do that.
But when you look at it and say, how many second, how many third-round picks can you have? We know Bill likes to roll stuff over to next year, too. I think Bill's going to be active, and I think he's going to move down. I don't think he's going to move up. And the Iowa, either one of those Iowa tight ends, he would have to move up a hell of a lot. He'd have to give up quite a bit looking at the value charts here to actually get one of those guys, wouldn't he?
We have this chart.
Right.
And, you know, as the value numbers, is this the chart that they use for the most part?
Yeah.
Like around the league, right? Yes. Most of these guys. So I was just looking at what it would take to for them to move up. And the highest I could get was, you know, well, I mean, they can go wherever they want. Next year's first-round pick they can include. But if you were to jump to 12, okay, that's value of 1,200 points. That's Green Bay. If you were to trade up to 12, you would have to give up 32. You would have to give up both of your picks in the second round. And that would get you to 12.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that one.
So you think Bill would give up 32, 56, and 64 to move up to 12?
No, Bill loves the second and third round, fourth round. Nope, he loves it. And the other thing about it is this is one of those drafts where the draft Knicks, you know, the Mel Kipers of the world, are claiming second, third, and fourth round are loaded.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's really a tough one.
I know
one.
It is, Bill.
But those are always your value picks, though.
But that's what Bill does, though.
And
that's
it makes
whole,
sense. So if,
that's his whole
so,
approach
so
to
if
the draft.
A guy is good, if a guy is, if you think a guy, if you have the 32nd pick and you think this guy's still going to be around at 39, I mean, obviously, you just get the hell out of that situation. I mean, because it just makes more sense. But, and then there's also this back and forth. Like, there's positions that I think more than ever, you can say they need a tight end. They don't need a running back. I don't think they need a tackle. Okay, but they probably will draft him probably later. Sure, you could use him, but they don't need a tackle. So I think they're going to draft a tight end.
All right, man,
they're not
going to
draft a wide receiver in the first round, but I do know they have their little value chart based on, you know, who's the best player. So if they have a cornerback that is rated the number one guy on their board, and sure enough, they need a tight end, but that guy's still sitting there, they'll probably take the cornerback.
Yeah.
Because he's the best player on the board.
Yeah, even though
they need a tight end.
Even though they don't need a guard right now, and who knows what Isaiah Wynn is. Is he a tackle or is he a guard? Would it surprise you if none of the guards went off the board and in the second round, they're looking at a guy that they project in a normal draft would be in the top 10 or 12?
You who plays guard? A great profit.
He would take somebody like that because that's how he looks at it. He does not look at position.
Didn't Thornton actually pick... it was a Dominic Easley.
Yeah,
I think he actually got that one
Jerry
right.
Thornton picked him.
He was the first guy I've ever that I remember actually picking the exact person who the Patriots would select in the
draft.
You're
not fit to speak.
The only person. Otherwise, don't give me Jones. Don't give me a quarterback in the
You're
first
right.
round.
It's
They're
like
not
the names,
taking
the names,
a quarterback
the names
in the first
you hear,
round.
You hear more of those are never the guys.
Never.
See, Bill,
never, ever,
but,
ever.
And
but,
they'll take a guy. The first pick that they essentially they stick at 32. Can't you almost guarantee that you know on this TV set they'll be going through their papers looking for this guy and they'll say, man, I had a projected mid-second round.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen
that? We see that a lot. Where they
get this guy projected in the third. It took him first, you know, first.
What is Belichick doing?
We're sitting there, we're looking, and the tight end position is one that's kind of funny to me because everybody's only focusing on three guys. You're looking at the two guys out of Iowa, and you're looking out of Alabama,
and they're looking at the fourth and fifth and sixth
because
guys
they kind of
right.
Who
they
knows?
Get value. Right.
And who knows if they even I went and looked at Irv Smith again, and at first initially I was like, he kind of reminds me of Daniel Graham. Then I looked at his measurables and I looked at his just everything else that he could do. I was like, no, he's not Daniel Graham at all. And they moved up to get Daniel Graham, who was left something, you know, wasn't actually the receiver that they wanted him to be, but he had a lot of injuries, but he became one of the better tight ends in the NFL. Didn't have the numbers, but he was still, you know, worth it for them.
Let's face it, Bill is not predictable with this stuff. Just
They've
when you
get
think
a good
he's
player at 32.
Just when you think he's going to do something, he does something totally different. By the way, Todd McShay, ESPN.
Who does he have him taking?
Swampskit's own Todd McShay. He doesn't like the quarterback at 32 for New England.
I think a guy like Ryan Finley from NC State in the second round, if I could utilize this pick or move back and stockpile more picks. I think the second, third, and fourth rounds of this draft are the strength. So I would stay away from quarterback here. Get a tight end if a Noah Fant is still available or Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama. Get a wide receiver if someone's still on the board that you didn't expect. And then go look for your quarterback like they've done in years past in that second, third round range.
Quarterback makes no sense in the first round unless Bill is thoroughly convinced that there's a quarterback out there which he thinks, no matter what they've done in college, is going to be the next great quarterback.
To me, it's if it's a quarterback in the first round, then you got to see him. Then you think Brady's got 3 years tops. which he might, you know, or 2 years, don't you? Don't you have to see him for a year or two before you decide, you know, if he's the guy, if you want to pick up that fifth-year option? It's just, it, timing-wise, it feels like they're a year off.
What's up, guys?
You're picking a quarterback, you know, the guy, or whatever. I'd rather, I don't want to wait for Danny Etling in the seventh round.
Yeah.
But if it's a guy they like in the fourth, I'd rather see that. A little upgrade, get a look at him for another year or two. And then maybe next year, maybe you find another guy or whatever. But to me, if you draft a kid now, don't you have to expect him to start year three or year four at least? So Brady's got 2 or 3 years.
I would even say just use Jimmy Garoppolo as an example. I think they lucked out with him that he actually turned into something, at least for them.
The timing didn't work.
The timing didn't work. But he hasn't done anything in San Francisco. He's been hurt the entire time. So we'll see what happens maybe 2 years from now.
Jimmy G.
But the fact that they would actually hit on another quarterback, because usually they miss. I can list a ton of quarterbacks that they drafted that even when they left the team amounted to nothing.
Yeah, but that usually happens when you're drafting quarterbacks.
I know, so,
outside the first 10 picks in the draft.
I mean, I would say, okay, next to, as far as positions that are hard to draft, quarterback, obviously.
Brian Hoyer.
And I would say
wide receivers.
Yeah. I would say wide receivers because you sit there and you look at these guys and they're in an offense where they run three routes. Goes and slants.
Yeah,
they come from a Josh Gordon style of offense where he's just physically better. They have better recruits and they're automatically better than everybody they play against. And so everything works for them. So they just run slants and then goes. That's it. They have no route progression. They have no route tree, and they definitely don't know how to dress any route up. So they don't know how to get open in a pro style offense or adjust to a quarterback who knows exactly where they just haven't seen the situation.
Right. See, and I think that's why they have so much difficulty drafting these wide receivers. Once they get them into their offense, they sit there and they find that
they can't
do what they want them to do.
Oh wait, so I have to adjust? Oh wait, geez, that's hard.
Right.
Yep. Well, I mean, you play something more than cover one and cover three?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, what does this mean? I don't get it.
That's a problem. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs just got some really good news. The district attorney out there announced he will not file charges in the investigation against Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. A crime did occur, but no conclusive evidence as to who committed it.
Chiefs!
So they don't post him or his girlfriend.
His
wife? I don't know, baby mama? I don't even know what it is.
Both, girlfriend and baby mama.
Yeah. So, all right, so they did say, who released this?
Schefter.
All right, so a crime, isn't that backwards? So no, a crime didn't occur.
No, they're saying a crime occurred, but they can't tell who did it. No conclusive evidence as to who committed it. Maybe there was a third party that was
there.
Well,
maybe she didn't
want
to rat him out.
Possibility.
Maybe he didn't want to rat her out.
But as the NFL, because again, this goes down to the NFL conduct
policy. Suspended for 5 games.
You're still getting suspended. Yeah, conduct detrimental. All right, we don't care if the law didn't find anything. We know you're up.
I do wonder if the wording of that, because like you said, a crime was committed. So does the NFL sit there and say, hey, listen, a crime was committed?
I wasn't charged with anything. You can't sit there and tell me a crime was committed when you didn't even file. No one's going to court. No one's doing anything.
I'm not
going to
get into
hypothetical. If a crime occurred, then either one of us would be charged. One of us would be charged, either her or
Tyreek. Yeah, so they can't make a case.
Yeah.
Right. So suppose she's the one that actually did it, broke the arm of the kid. Is the commissioner right? Just because he happened to be with this woman, that he's the boyfriend, that he should be suspended.
See, this goes,
I think that's a real slippery slope.
So you can't afford to be wrong, so you have to overpunish. You just have to. Well, sorry, you got caught up in this. Even if this is almost like a wrong place, wrong time clause.
You know what's gonna happen, and this is
you have to be punished.
This is where the NFL gets in trouble because they don't do anything.
Yep.
They don't look into it. Hey, listen, there's no evidence, right? What can you do? And then they break up. She gets pissed. And the next thing you know, here we are in December. She holds a press conference saying that it was Tyreek Hill, and this is the video I have, and these are the pictures of my son.
Yeah.
And now he's got, you know, it's all about, you know, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
And it's week 10, and he's suspended for the rest of the year.
Then he plays for the Browns.
They all go to Cleveland.
All right, Celtics on the table, Bruins on the table, NFL draft on the table. We get back to the phone calls. We got an open line at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum
of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. In this hour, we will give away a pair of tickets for Game 1 tomorrow night. The Bruins and the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night at the TD Garden. We'll give away a pair of tickets coming up in this hour.
Small sample size of Naki.
It's nice that we actually have like real hockey tickets here. It's pretty good.
That's
all right,
good.
Let's get to the phone call, 617-779-7937. Here's Alex in the car. Hey, Alex. Not working, guys. Take it back
there.
Keeps on breaking.
Press the button harder.
Nope.
Uh-oh.
Hello? Alex?
There he is.
What's
buddy?
Up, Alex? Oh, hi, guys. So do you guys give a chance to the series to win? Are you guys got all three guys got Milwaukee to win the series?
So I picked them in 7. These guys have picked them in 6. Wouldn't you say that's a chance?
I give them a chance.
That's a chance, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but you guys are so heavy on Milwaukee. I think with the C's, I think now they've gotten.
Well, what do you think? What do you think?
I think they'll play. I think they'll win the series. I think
in what? But I think, how many games?
Oh, I think it'll go 6 or 7. Absolutely, but I think.
Okay, so let me ask you this: why?
Yeah.
Why are we being viewed as being negative to the Green Teamers who seem to be apoplectic about this? Because we're picking it as a 6 or 7 game series, and we like a team that actually won 60 games this year.
No, absolutely. I don't think you guys are being negative towards them, but you're heavily on Milwaukee. You're almost kind of giving them no chance to win. I just think they're at a
point. Again, stop, Alex. You're not listening. You're like Gilroy. None of you Green Teamers listen.
We're
sitting here saying 6 or 7 games. That's a chance. The Celtics are a good team. We just think Milwaukee is slightly better. Is that off base?
Sure. No, it's not off base. But it just doesn't seem that way. It seems I haven't heard you guys say once that the Celtics have a chance. It's having Milwaukee.
We're not raved about Kyrie Irving. Have we?
Well,
not
I'll tell you what. And that the reason why is because you have someone that calls in and says that all they have is Giannis and that's it. So then you start talking about the rest of the team. You talk about Chris Middleton and what Bledsoe's doing, how Brogdon can come back, and it's like, why are you praising him? Well, because we have somebody call in who doesn't know who the team is. So I personally, I think they lose in 6. You know, and I've gone through this now with these last two couple teams that won a championship, and I've always used the analogy, if you put a cup of water in front of me, you tell me it's water, I don't trust till I drink it. So when the Patriots beat the Chargers, I thought they were going to lose. When they beat the Chargers, right, I thought they'd beat Kansas City and win the Super Bowl. Same thing with the Red Sox Game 3 in Yankee Stadium. I thought they were going to lose. And when they won that game 16-1, I said they're going to beat the Yankees, they're going to beat Houston, they're going to win the World Series. I need to see this team, because I haven't believed in them all year long. I need to have this team show me something, because I just don't believe in them. And if they win this series, to be honest with you, I'd probably pick them to beat Toronto.
I would tell Lou Merloni to back off.
But I just until I see it, like I don't believe in them. That's just my opinion of this team. I think they're a bunch of frauds. We'll see.
But why are they so upset about this, that we're actually talking about Milwaukee being a good team? Do they really think Milwaukee sucks, that they're playing a bad team?
Well, that's why it's coming off that way, because people do. People do think Milwaukee sucks.
What have they been watching?
And they think it's all Giannis. And because he can't shoot a three-pointer, he's not
really
a good player.
It's a really good team.
Milwaukee.
And that's all they have.
And by the way, it's well-coached. Okay? Guy's been coach of the year. I talked to a caller the other day who said to me, what are you talking about? Our coach is so much better than theirs. You want to look at the two accomplishments of the two guys? Go look it up. One of them has been coach of the year. One of them has led teams to 60 wins twice, two different teams. Your guy hasn't done it, and I like Brad Stevens. I think he's a good coach, and I'm not sure he's going to get out-coached in the series, but you're treating it like the other guy's some chump. Milwaukee is really good, and for some reason, people don't get it. They're not picking up.
Yeah, and I still think that people kind of look at this Celtics team, and now they've gotten out of the first round, played against a team that was really not tanking, but really on their last leg, and just really coming into the finish line, just on their hands and knees. and they say, wow, oh, this is exactly, and they don't, maybe they didn't look at every single game or watch every single game, but they're giving the Celtics like the benefit of a first of the number one seed, even though they're not the number one seed. You know, they're treating them like they look at all this talent. It's finally accomplished something. They finally delivered like we thought they would early in the season. Like, that's not the case. I don't know if you can look at one game, and a lot of it's attributed to Gordon Hayward and how he played in that last game, the fourth game of the first round.
But he didn't play.
Ah, he's back. Oh, so you're telling me we're going to add Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, but not the Gordon Hayward from the whole season who was up and down, in and out of the lineup, and sometimes didn't even play. This is the Gordon Hayward of the last game of round one, the fourth game of the first round, and we're getting Kyrie Irving. We're getting all these guys back, and Kyrie's, we still have Terry Rozier, and we still have all these guys?
Let me ask this question. Is it out of place here to say, even though they swept the Indiana Pacers, that at the end of the series against the Milwaukee Bucks, we all sit here and come to the conclusion that they have a lot of really good talent on the Boston Celtics, but this is just a bad mix? That these players don't mix well.
I wouldn't say they're a bad team, but
no, they're a good team.
With the amount of talent that they have, they should be next level.
Absolutely.
And they're not. So they're underachievers in my book.
So is that possible that at the end of the series, because we've done it for the entire season, that we keep on looking at it, waiting for it to get better, because we look at the individual talent and say, oh my God, they got a lot of talent. And maybe at the end of the series, people look at it and say, it was just a bad mix, and it's time for Danny to do something and change it.
Well, we've had that discussion before, and I still firmly believe that this group will be one of those things where, you know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, when these we'll all look back at that 2018 team they were on, that 18-19 Celtics team. Man, we gave it away. You know, for many reasons, selfish reasons, whatever you want, we didn't come together. We had so much talent on that team.
Yeah, the 30 for 30 they're going to do on them.
I mean, I think that there'll be regrets. Yeah, listen, hopefully they beat the Bucks. I just don't trust them. I don't believe in them.
I don't either. They better take one this weekend, one in the first two. Here's Mike in a car. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
It gives me a lot of pain and aggravation that I'm agreeing with you guys. And I'm trying to play devil's advocate as much as I can, but I know I haven't bought a minute, but if I can just explain it real quick. I think it starts with the fact that, number one, we're the Boston Celtics. We got 17 championships. We only won one championship in 33 years. And the thing that's driving me crazy the most is that Brad Stevens has been a coach for 7 years, and I think this is the first year I feel aggravated with him, and it starts from the beginning of the season where, one, he inputted Gordon Hayward into the lineup a little bit too soon. He should have slowly made his way in there. And I think after 19 games, when Jaylen Brown, he decided to sit him down based on an injury, that's when he started inserting Marcus Morris into the starting lineup. And he rolled that out a little too long, and I think that affected the chemistry a lot. When you sit a guy down like Jaylen Brown, who is a potential all-star player, who's still he's a future of yards as of now, and you input Morris in there in the starting lineup, playing him more minutes. And I understand if you go to the stats, it only looks like he's playing two more minutes, but he shouldn't even be anywhere within the realm of playing that many. He should be more towards 20 minutes per game instead of what he's been playing all year. And that's been a failure, an absolute failure on Brad Stevens. And the last three games, four games that we played against Milwaukee, He put him in there in the fourth game, and he took a gamble with it by not playing Jaylen Brown pretty much the whole fourth quarter, and it worked out with Morris. But when you're playing against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, you're probably not going to get away with that. You got to go with who's the better player.
Oh, that's funny, because I've heard some Celtic fans already today come out and say they think Marcus Morris should be the guy who's defending Giannis. So I've already heard that today thrown out there.
How about playoff Mook?
I'm not sure if I buy that.
We did have this discussion, about a month and a half to go in the season, right? Why is Morris still in there? He had that stretch where he just couldn't hit anything. And for him, it's if he's not hitting a shot, he's still going to take 10 or 12 shots a game. Yep. That's just who he is. He was good. I think he was good in game one, right? Was it game one where he came out in the first quarter? Scored right away. I think it was game one or even game four, he was good too. I think he is a bench player. I think he's a scorer off the bench for your second unit. Right? But it's funny because we had the same discussion, Christian, here on Monday. And you know how many times we mentioned Marcus Smart's name? once, twice, three times, and it was like the third hour of talking about it. No one's even mentioning Marcus Smart.
Mark is stupid.
But when it's over, it'll be the excuse, right? I mean,
he wasn't in the lineup.
And this is another thing too. It's you didn't lose Marcus Smart. It didn't cost you in first round. In this round, I mean, he's a very good player that impacts the game defensively. When you win games against teams that are good, whether it's Milwaukee or Toronto, he's winning a couple of them for you late.
Yeah,
with some kind of defensive play.
I would say he's just as dangerous as Kyrie Irving is at the end of the game with the ball in his hands. Marcus Smart gives you just as much defensively or just impactful plays, you know, game-changing type plays. Maybe it's not scoring because you do not want him to have the ball in his hands, okay, in the closing seconds. But as far as impacting the end of the game, making a defensive play, just as important.
I agree. And the reason why his name's not mentioned is because callers don't want to remind themselves that he's not playing.
I think it's a huge
loss. Because they realize how difficult it's going to be without Marcus Smart. Yeah. So they just sort of gloss it over. They don't want to think about it. Marcus Smart's a huge loss. You know, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not even going to bring his name up.
Well, they've moved on to Semi Ojeleye, who did not play at all in the Pacers series, that suddenly he's going to be the guy.
Fresh legs.
But where Marcus Smart, to me, it would be key in this series is that you're going to double up on Giannis an awful lot. Giannis handles the ball an awful lot. He's the type of guy that can get his hands in, pick that ball loose, force Giannis into a lot of traffic because there are two guys on him, and he's constantly going for the ball. He just becomes a pest out there.
Well, he covers everybody.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Like, Rozier did a nice job defensively in the first round, but he can't cover the same guy as Marcus Smart can. Like, Rozier can get in Bledsoe's dome, right? But he can't move around. Can he get Middleton? Like, I mean, Marcus Smart would cover everybody. He would have been on Giannis a couple of times down court just to mess with him.
I tell you what, you like matchups, you like little subplots or whatever. The Eric Bledsoe and Terry Rozier one is going to be a good one to watch because Bledsoe's admitting that he lost his cool last year in the playoffs against Terry Rozier, and Rozier had, Drew Bledsoe in and the t-shirts
and
all. Yeah,
but it's not even going to be the same because it's more about Kyrie than it is Terry Rozier now.
Oh, right. No, but
Terry Rozier was starting.
But I think that whole matchup. But what I'm saying is Bledsoe is a factor because you don't think the Boston Garden crowd, the TD Garden crowd, is going to get on Bledsoe? They're going to get on him because they're going to remember. And he remembers. He's got to have a total.
But Terry Rozier really helped that. He really helped it. I mean, he was mouthy. He was chirping a lot, and he was obviously got inside his dome, and Bledsoe couldn't handle it.
No, but he'll be 18 to 20 minutes now, 21 minutes instead of the 30, 32 he was playing before. But I do. I think that I guess I would call Bledsoe the X factor for the Bucks. He'd be my X factor, right?
Are you using it correctly? By the way,
I think so because
you have an issue with the X factor.
Well,
stuff.
Draper would call Giannis the X factor, or whatever Middleton.
But can Hayward, guys are there. Can Hayward be an X factor on the Celtics team?
Gordon I feel Hayward, like absolutely. He's a fence guy. He could be. No, he's not a starter. So
listen, I've always felt Gordon Hayward's difference between this team being who we think they can be.
Except that Gordon
but
Hayward,
but he's just too inconsistent.
Except that Gordon Hayward, night in and night out, should be the second best player on the floor for you.
Yes.
Right? And he hasn't been.
Well, that's what I mean. If he can, I don't believe that he's flipped the switch. I don't believe that he is back like a lot of people want to believe, right? They want to believe it more than I think they actually do, but still, that's fine. But if he is, I mean, if he can go out there and give you a Gordon Hayward night, if he can go for 20 in all of these games, be a playmaker, play defense, then, yeah, he is absolutely an X factor. It's just you haven't seen it. I think he's been the biggest difference this year.
Yeah, but hold on. The last thing I saw was he scored 20 points. He was 7 of 9 from the field.
Oh, he's back.
He was 3 of 3 from the three-point line. Now, there's only one issue with that, only one problem.
Man, we ain't won nothing, y'all.
If you take the first three games of the series, he was 10 of 26, 1 of 6 from three-point territory. And, oh, yeah, everybody says he's great in Indiana. Well, Game 3 was played in Indiana,
it was?
Was it not? Game 3 was played there.
I think
there.
It was.
He shot 28% in that game.
Not bad.
So what are we talking about? Gordon Hayward gave you one game in the series in which he was tremendous.
It was the last game.
He's back.
It was the last one. That's all you remember.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have to wait for Game 4 in the Milwaukee series for him to show
up? Every fourth game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So you really get one game.
All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. Also, we're giving away tickets for Game 1, Bruins and Columbus. You want to stand by for that? Pay attention.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter.
you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Lillard, long range three. It's good! And the Lillard! Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. Live with that.
Damian Lillard, 37-foot raindrop. He dropped 50, by the way, in the game against OKC. They win the game, they win the series. And Paul George, who was defending him out in the perimeter, said that's a bad shot. And Paul George is 100% correct.
Bad shot.
So OKC ties up the game, and Portland is playing at home. Lillard brings the ball down, casually takes his time. The clock is running out. You're screaming and going, are you going to get a freaking shot off? Are you settling for a tie going into overtime? What are you doing? And then out of nowhere, like the game was over and they had a 10-point lead, just fired up a 37-foot shot, swish, game over, series over.
And that was a contested shot, by the way. It's not like
he got his hand up.
It wasn't a gimme.
Well, he didn't think he was in shooting range, so he's like, you got to come to me, so I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, he just kept backing up.
He's got to be careful. No, he's got to be careful for the dribble drive around him.
Yeah, but the time, the clock was ticking.
Yes.
So you're okay, so I'm looking at the clock, and I'm seeing you back up. Okay, there's no way you can make. Go ahead. You want to go ahead.
He was backing up, which is unbelievable. Started the three-point stripe and backed up.
So you tip your cap. Okay, you made it. You lucked out.
You know, we talk about George after the game, right? Bad shot, bad shot. Well, okay, you can argue whether it was or you wouldn't. To me, that's just not the reaction. Like, the reaction should just be like, listen, I never thought he'd pull up from there. You know, I thought he had to come a little bit closer. I got a hand in his face. He hit the shot. Give him credit. Instead, it's a bad shot. Well, it's a bad shot that he drained your face and just sent you home. You know what I mean?
It was actually unbelievable. It was a bad choice of shot.
I mean, it wasn't a two-handed shove from half court.
Yeah, it's like grannied it, right? Well, like, is that the free throw line?
But I could see how the reaction of George, because he was playing. You could say it. He was playing for that fear of that drive because they had spread out the court. They had opened up the lane so they could get the one-on-one with him. And the last thing you would expect is him to fire up that 37, but he was hitting everything all night long. What does this do to Russell Westbrook, who suddenly has become one of those guys that a lot of people don't like? We talk about Kyrie here. I think it's an NBA thing. Kevin Durant used to be the nicest guy in the world. Everybody loved him. And now he seems to, you know, rip everybody and seem to
piss him off. He doesn't like talking about free agency. He doesn't want to talk about free agency.
I think it's an NBA diva thing. That's why people here get pissed off about Kyrie Irving. If you had any one of these superstars here in Boston, you would have the same issue.
It's a good question.
If it were LeBron, if it were Durant, if it were Russell Westbrook, any one of these guys, you'd have the same
issue. Hold on. So you asked, what does this do? What does this say about Russell Westbrook?
Yes, sure. Because, again, he averaged triple-doubles in the series.
Yeah, I get that part.
And yet they get beat in five games.
Yeah, okay. So here's, see, I didn't even think about that.
They haven't won a series yet
about,
since Durant.
What I thought about was,
he shot 36%.
Yes.
He couldn't hit a damn thing.
He takes a lot of shots.
Well, so what I thought about was Kevin Durant. And now, like, a lot of people gave him a hard time for leaving OKC. Why would you leave? Why would you leave? You were so close. You know why he left? I guarantee you, when it's all said and done, Westbrook was one of the biggest reasons why he left.
Maybe.
But don't you feel like it's come full circle here for Westbrook? Because when Durant left, a lot of the blame was Westbrook. You know, like, he couldn't play with him. He didn't want to give him the ball. He wanted to be the guy. So I felt like there was a negative feeling towards Russell Westbrook, the team player. Then he turned it around.
He changed his game.
Then he became the MVP. Then he was doing things you're like, oh my God, he's showing that Kevin Durant, he doesn't need Kevin Durant, all these. Right. Now all of a sudden here in this postseason, I mean, you watch some of that game, and he took 31 shots, so he put up 29 points, but in 31 shots.
That's the problem. He takes too many shots every single night.
Yeah, and it seemed like when it was, you know, down to the wire, he's like, he had a couple shots, he was wide open, he had to take them, he drained a three, but for the most part, he's like, where's Paul? Paul, here you go. Here, you take that big one. Go ahead, you take it. Go ahead. You know, and I think it's almost full circle. He got blamed for Durant leaving. Then all of a sudden, he made a name for himself standing alone without Kevin Durant. And now all of a sudden, you're right back to, we got problems with Russell Westbrook. He's not a good player.
So it's been
he's not a team player. Can't win.
It's been 3 years since Durant's left, right? Yeah, because he won two championships.
Yeah.
And this is the third year. So he's got an MVP candidate playing alongside him out there in Paul George, right? He's got a good team, Steven Adams. They're good players on that team. And I don't believe they've won a playoff series since Durant has left. That's got to come back. And Russell Westbrook has won an MVP.
And it goes against the norm of best player, that whole, you have one of the top five players in the NBA, you should automatically get out of the first round.
Right.
And guys should want to come and play with you.
They were a low seed, too. They were sixth seed, and this Portland was the higher seed. So even during the regular season, they ended up as the sixth seed. And yet, Paul George was talked about all year long as an MVP candidate. I mean, you can look at Giannis and say his team won more games than any other team in the league. Right? That's a legitimate MVP. Durant, you can look at it and say Durant is as good, if not maybe slightly better than Giannis, but look at all of the other players he's got. And this is, talk about championship bred teams. Look at that team.
Yeah, no, it's that's the first thing I thought of when I thought about the whole discussion about what does this mean. What does this mean about, you know, for Russell Westbrook and I guess his legacy? Do you use legacy in Russell Westbrook now? Is that the case?
I guess
because
triple double the last 2 years.
Yeah, a big deal. You have nothing to show for it.
Well, that's that's a big deal though. You have to go back to big O, by the way, Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, but okay, what do you have to show for it?
You don't
nothing.
You haven't won a playoff
Not one
series,
thing,
which is pretty amazing when you think of it.
So who's the problem?
I think it does hurt his legacy because you talked about this earlier. We were talking about the Greek Freak and what he has to do to get his game up to the level, because we all think he's got the potential to be in the conversation as one of the all-time great players. Not yet, but down the road. He's got to win championships. So Westbrook, what's he winning? He can't even win a playoff series.
No, and who knows how that relates. I feel like he's locked in, though, isn't he? Contract-wise? I haven't looked at his contract. I have a feeling that he's not going anywhere.
And Paul George, we talked about, had the opportunity to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, he decided to stay.
And decided on staying there.
Well, I
wonder
know
how he feels about
LA
that.
What, do you think he'd rather be in L.A. right now based on what they're going through?
I hate to tell you, Big
I don't know. What's the worst situation?
L.A.'s a disaster.
They're always a year away. They're not. There's nothing.
Good timing getting rid of Luke Walton, though. That was good timing.
No.
By the way, I just saw this. Mike Florio, going back to Tyreek Hill. Now, if you remember, right, they took his child from him?
Yes.
They took the child's out of the house. So he does, right, apparently... They used their Fifth Amendment right against self-incriminating.
Yes.
Court. But the important thing here, that Florio is saying, he's still going to be in trouble here because apparently in the personal conduct policy, here's the language, because the Fifth Amendment's protection against self-incrimination does not apply in a workplace investigation, the league will reserve the right to compel a player to cooperate in its investigation, even when he's the target of a pending law enforcement or proceeding. Players' refusal to speak to a league investigator under such circumstances will not preclude investigation from proceeding or discipline from being imposed.
He screws.
I plead the
So now he's going to go to the NFL kangaroo court. That's what he's doing.
That's what's going to happen here. He invoked his Fifth Amendment right, him and his girl, and they didn't self-incriminate each other. Yeah. But when it comes to the league, no. We're going to still ask you. We're going to still find out what the hell happened.
Are they going to interview Tyreek Hill and the girlfriend at the same time, or are they going to separate
them? Well, he goes on.
The commissioner learned about
it. Did they learn their lesson there with our
good friend? Florio goes on and says, if he doesn't talk to the league, he's guilty. If he talks to the league and his story isn't believable or consistent, he's guilty. If Espinal tries to take the blame, but does it in a way that, given her clear financial interest in protecting Hill, seems flimsy or not credible, he's guilty.
The focus should be on football.
Oh, he's
so they got to hold an investigation on this, and he's going to get suspended.
Well,
still.
That gives us a little bit more detail. So the district attorney basically said he came to the conclusion that a crime had been committed. The kid has a broken arm; a crime had been committed, but neither Tyreek Hill nor the girlfriend was willing to answer any of the questions.
See,
they just pleaded the fact.
They
didn't want to talk. So they didn't want to. Right. So one of the two of them did it. And so neither one of them is going to rat the other one out, so they all plead the Fifth. But you're right. The commissioner's got to do something.
So Tyreek Hill's side of it says, she did it, but I don't want to come out and say it because, I don't want to, take our son away from a mother away from our son and have her go to jail or whatever. On the flip side, she could say, well, he did it. But financially, I don't want to get him in trouble either.
So
but the league can find out. The league's going to interview both of these
people. See, my approach to the NFL, again, like you're talking about a personal matter. It's none of your damn business.
A crime occurred.
It's none of your, listen,
a child was taken out of the home.
I'm putting myself in it. So if you tell them, they're going to suspend you. If you don't tell them, they're going to suspend you. So let me give you some advice. Don't tell them. Like, honestly, I would not even sit down with them and say, listen, it's none of your damn business. We already settled this. We're together. If you don't like it, go screw.
If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, we've been down this road. Will you learn from your mistakes? You believed Kareem Hunt. You found out he lied to you. You released him. So do you, the Kansas City Chiefs, now go, listen, Tyreek, we just went through this. I'm going to ask you right now, did you commit this crime? You know, so, you know, because you look back at Kareem Hunt. Hey, if he admitted to committing a crime and they suspended him for 6 to 8 weeks, he'd probably still be on the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, if he committed that something was there. So you, Tyreek, I mean, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, do you go down? You have to go down that road again and ask another player if he committed this crime, and then do you trust him?
But if you're Tyreek Hill and you know the real story is pretty bad on both sides, Let's just call it.
Yeah, I broke his arm.
Okay, you know what? But I didn't break. It was an accident. We were fine. Whatever. Okay. Either way, it's bad and it's ugly. So you know that if you tell them, you're going to get suspended. And if you don't tell them, you're going to be suspended. So are they going to add two more games because you're not telling them? Or do they have a break glass in case of emergency? Here it is. Okay, everybody gets five.
But you know what? I think this would have been a case where, and you've seen this before, I'm sure, Christian, in football, where the wife and husband or boyfriend and girlfriend would say to each other, we need your income.
Okay, yeah.
To the male. And so, therefore, the woman would take the blame for it, but there wouldn't be an awful lot of a penalty to pay. In this case, this is a felony, a broken arm of a child, abuse on a child. She could go away to prison on this one. So she's not going to sit there and say, even though they need his income, she's not going to sit there and say, I'm not going to prison for you, right?
And okay, she doesn't work for the NFL, so why would she cooperate with the NFL? She's not even married to Tyreek Hill. I'm just saying, in the big scheme of things, it's just the NFL imposing their power and, you know, having their thumb on the NFL players, trying to dictate the terms and everything else. That just bugs me. It does. It bugs me. You don't owe them an explanation whatsoever. Like, you haven't been charged with anything.
Sounds like they'll ask him, though.
Oh, no, they're going to ask him, and, you know, and whether he'll tell the truth or not is...
Well, to your point, I mean, if she comes out and tells the league that she did it, do they reopen this investigation?
I'll give you some more. The DA from Johnson County has just said this, that the Tyreek Hill case will probably be sealed because it involves a minor. That would hinder media, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the NFL's ability to investigate. So none of the...
So he's lucky they're not in Florida.
That's right. And Kraft would love to be in Kansas right now.
So all the NFL is going to get is their side of the story. That's their version of what happened.
This is where they've screwed up in the past, though. It's almost like sometimes they walk in and say, Tyreek, yeah, sit down. Okay. Hey, did you do this? No. All right, listen, have a good camp. Take care. You know, and it's like they never get to the bottom of it, and they get caught. You know, and they get caught because, like, as we mentioned, I don't know, maybe these two break up. Maybe he's not making payments to her. I don't know. She gets pissed. Next thing you know, she's on some interview, you know, 60 Minutes or something like that, and she's giving up all the dirt, and here we are in week 10, and it's, okay, Tyreek Hill's done for the year.
It was an independent investigation.
Honestly, get to the bottom of it.
But
find out what happened.
But you're right,
Don't get caught off guard again.
The only thing they care about, and this dates back to the Pac-Man Jones case from years ago, where he was never convicted of anything and he got suspended. The commissioner doesn't care. It's you're embarrassing the Shield. You're embarrassing our product. And for that, they do something. They're going to give him a suspension out of this. Even if they are unable investigate, they're going to sit there and say, you embarrassed us, you pleaded the fifth, so obviously something happened. We're dealing with a child, all right? A broken arm with your child?
We're fining you for having terrible judgment. Because if you're going to be in the NFL, you have to know better. You have to be smarter. Be stupid.
Yeah, but if you're in an employment where you are in the public eye, most companies react that way. Most companies would do that. Most companies would suspend you. That's what they do. Unfortunately, if you're in a private, if he's they're private couple and he's working in an insurance company and she's a nurse or whatever, you might not ever know about it. Nothing really happens out of it. They're simply keeping it out of the courtroom. But in this case, even though they're keeping it out of
the
courtroom,
the court of public opinion, right. If something, and that's why they have to protect themselves, because even if they do get a sit down. Who says they're just going to lie to him because everything's being sealed? So, okay, they lied to him again. Well, you know it. We can't trust them. Let's fine them either way. Well, let's just give them two games. So what if there is a tape? All right, well, let's give them five games. Let's give them five because if the tape is released, and then at least we can say, hell, we gave them five games.
Well,
we didn't know there was a tape.
The NFL minimum is six games.
Six.
For violent crimes. And that's what Zeke got.
What did you have for over?
For not even being charged. For an NFL investigator going out looking in the case and saying, you know what? Didn't happen. Six.
I have a much.
Yeah, he's going to get suspended.
I'll take the under on the Kansas City Chiefs.
So Tyreek Hill and who's the other dude that went to? I can't remember his name.
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
He's already.
What's his deal? No, he's not there. He plays for the Browns.
He plays. That's what I mean. He's gone.
No, but he has not been. He has not been officially suspended yet.
Right.
So that's still pending.
Yeah, they're going to lose him for probably eight games. Lou might be right. They may lose him.
I thought I might have saw
Was it eight games?
Yeah, they gave him eight already. Yeah,
eight games.
They gave
already, already. Gave okay. eight.
He's done for eight.
Yeah, because then we're talking about, man, halfway through the season, they're going to have him in the backfield for the second half of the year.
That's a plus the other kid, for the Browns. Yeah. They get him for eight games. Of course, it's the back end, and by that time, they'll already be mathematically eliminated.
The Browns?
Yes.
Browns. Oh, wow. Everybody has the Browns winning the division.
I don't.
Win the Super Bowl.
Crazy. Out of your mind. Hold on.
They'll win. Listen.
First-year coach.
Can we start with eight games? How about you just can win eight games?
Yes, I think that's the ceiling.
Go 9
right
and
there.
7.
I think that's the ceiling.
You have
eight
a very
games.
Toxic, emotional talent pool that you are drawing from. All of them. They're all nuts. Okay, now you got two guys that were friends since they were kids, okay, and then in college, and now they're on the same pro team.
I haven't even looked at their schedule, but I would say load up on the Browns for the first 6-7 weeks, and then after that, go the other way.
Oh, you know, they're, or they could sit there and have the expectations like the Red Sox did this year, and then end up going 0-4 to start the season. Then you have something interesting.
Oh, man, if they lose this one tonight and one tomorrow.
Please don't.
By the way, did you see what's going on up in Toronto tonight?
What's that?
We got a big matchup, Giants-Blue Jays.
Yes.
Drew Pomeranz versus Clay Buchholz.
Oh, Drew Pomeranz.
Oh, boy.
How about that game?
Buchholz.
That might take 7 hours.
I lost track of him.
Yeah, that's a good one. Pomeranz versus Buchholz.
All right, we got another.
Pomeranz with an earned run average of over 7.
That's my guy.
Another hour to go. We will go commercial free for the next half hour. We will give away. In this next segment, a pair of tickets to Game 1, Bruins and Columbus Blue Jackets, tomorrow night over at the TD Garden. We will give it away in this next segment. This hour being brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.